Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Follow Your Path. My name is Abdul Abid. I'm a surgical pathology fellow at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, and today we will be talking to Dr. John Hart. He's a professor of pathology at the University of Chicago. I'm also joined today by a future pathologist, Meredith Herman. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hart.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So starting off, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to medical school and residency?
Right. So I was born in California, grew up there, lived a short time in Hawaii, actually. Then came back to California. I did my undergrad in Iowa, and I was a medical student at the University of Iowa, where I met my wife. And then we moved to UCLA, where I did my residency and my GI and liver pathology fellowship. Then I came to the University of Chicago in 1991, and I've been here ever since. So I've had a long career here in Chicago, and essentially now I just regard myself as a Chicagoan.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got into liver pathology?
I love telling this story, actually. It's like most stories. I had an inspirational mentor. While I was a medical student, I was doing research in GI, and I had some rat intestine that I needed to bring to a pathologist for them to look at. And so I stumbled on Dr. Frank Mitros. You guys don't know that name, maybe even, but he is one of the all-time great pathology teachers and mentors at the University of Iowa. He spawned generations and generations of pathologists, inspired numerous medical students to go into pathology. And the way I found him was just very typical. I went in there, and he had this practice of just sitting in front of the multi-headed scope every day at a certain time, and you could bring him any slide, a resident, or me, a medical student, a fellow, could show him anything, and he would look at it, and he loved it. And so I came to his little sessions, and then I started coming to them more. When it was time for me to figure out where to go to residency, I talked it over with him, and he sent me to UCLA because of my interest in liver pathology and also my wife's constraints on getting a job in her field. And he said that there's a guy, Klaus Lewin, at UCLA who would be perfect as a mentor. So I went from Dr. Mitros to Dr. Lewin as another outstanding mentor, great GI and liver pathologist, and concentrated on GI and liver ever since.
Great. So talking about liver and GI, if you had to talk to a medical student such as Meredith or an incoming resident, what would you tell them is unique about liver pathology?
Yeah, I love liver pathology. So I really do think it's the best. GI and liver are a great combination because you get to see everything, all tumors in multiple different organs, benign and malignant, plus all the hereditary diseases in the liver. We have all of the unusual metabolic diseases and the hereditary biliary diseases, and then inflammatory conditions, medical conditions of all sorts and types, infections that are super cool, and then a beautiful array of tumors, not just one or two. I don't know how these GU and gynae people do it with their pathetic little selection tumors and inflammatory conditions, but GI and liver really span the entire spectrum of everything. You get to see everything. And honestly, I find that the gastroenterologists and the hepatologists are, of the clinicians, some of the friendliest and fun people to deal with too. So, and when you go to USCAP meetings, it's always a party in the GI and the liver rooms. It's a little more serious in the liver rooms. The GI is fun-loving atmosphere. The liver is a little more studious, but having a lot of fun in both. So I love it. Just love it.
Well, that is very encouraging. So I might just consider going into GI pathology from what you just shared.
paying jobs too. Let me put that out there. Volume in GI and liver, always increasing. Liver is a more specialized field than GI. There's not as many people who are intensely interested. Some, you know, GI pathologists tend to get liver pushed on them a little bit. So not everyone who's a GI pathologist loves liver as well. I don't like cytology, and I'm not great at pancreas. So it's great to be in a group where you have a little specialization. Everyone can kind of pick their area. For me, it's liver.
That's incredible. So piggybacking off of that, what can you share with us an interesting case that you came across in your career as a GI pathologist?
I am so old that I have 1,000 cases that are my coolest cases. In fact, in the cabinets behind me are, I keep a file of all of my best medical liver cases, GI cases, and GI and liver tumors, and I have over 500 liver cases and over 600 GI cases back there, all cataloged. So it would be hard to pick out one, but one that I often use to illustrate for teaching purposes when I give conferences was a case from many years ago, but I still come back to it a lot. Is it was a biopsy of a 7-year-old child with elevated liver chemistry tests, and very puzzling. They ruled out just about everything. It was low level AST and ALT elevations, but persistent. And finally, they felt like they had to do a liver biopsy in this child. And after everything else had been ruled out, it fit very well for celiac disease. And she had had some mild symptoms in the GI tract. But to diagnose celiac disease on a liver biopsy, it's just so satisfying. It was just a great case. If you diagnose celiac disease on a liver biopsy, you get one free wrong diagnosis anytime in the future with the same clinician. Because you say, well, yeah, I messed that up, but remember that time when I diagnosed celiac disease off a liver biopsy. So I tell that story a lot. It was it teaches a lot about medical liver disease, about considering the lab values, the clinical history, and the histologic features together, which is really important for medical liver disease.
Wow. I actually had a case report on non-cirrhotic portal hypertension presenting as celiac disease, which I'm sure was not your case, but like it was in the ballpark of that.
That is cool. I love non-cirrhotic portal hypertension. One of my recent interests, our fellows are working on that. So,
Wow. So what do you find is the most gratifying aspect of your job?
I really like all pathologists, we all like that puzzle of figuring out the diagnosis, and it just really fits very nicely for medical liver in particular. You know, with tumors, you throw on some stains, you know, you do nowadays molecular, and the diagnosis becomes evident. But for medical liver, you really have to kind of dig, you have to consider, you have to think about the pattern, and then correlate the clinical information, the laboratory results, talk to your hepatologist, consider the alternatives, and then hopefully get down, if you don't get to a specific diagnosis, at least get to a diagnosis that helps patient management, which is really cool. I love that. And I love that our hepatologists come to our scope. It's really important for our fellowship training. The fellows are there, we're there. You know, we talk about the case first, but when the clinician comes, then that real action starts, because you can see how what you say affects the patient's management. If we call it this, they'll do that. If we call it something else, or if we give a less specific range of diagnoses, then what happens in that arena? So I really love that every day. It's really cool.
Awesome. Well, going down a different path here, can you talk us through the training and what it's like to become a liver pathologist?
Right. So you need a great background just in general surgical pathology. That's that's where it all starts. So you got to pay attention to everything early on. But what I look for when we're filling up our fellowship positions is someone who has good training, but also showed some early interest in GI or liver. So finding a project with a mentor that you like, doing a little USCAP project, submitting an abstract, showing up at the meeting, introducing yourself at the meeting, coming to the Hans Popper Hepatopathology Society meeting, and just walking up and introducing yourself. It really helps. And then that's what we look for as we're evaluating the applications that we get for fellowship. And that's what we look for in our own fellows. Having a lot of curiosity and interest and hard work, I try to pick our future fellows during their first year. I don't care if they have any interest at all in liver pathology. I look for the hardest working, funnest resident coming in to our program, and then I just force them to become a liver pathologist. I just work on them. I'm relentless. I make sure that they have a good time during the signouts. Our whole group does. We have seven pathologists, and they're all younger than me, so they're young and hip, and they talk about interesting things during the sign out. They make it an educational experience, and then we work on those people to try to show them, and then we try to get them interested in doing a project. Tell them, you know, oh, USCAP is going to be in New Orleans this year. Don't want to miss that. How about we work on a project together? You know, it could be anything that during a case that we're signing out. Oh, here, this is weird. Oh, I've always wondered if this or that happens. Let's do a project. Let's get it started. Once you get someone in a project, they go to USCAP, they have a good time there, they present their findings. You introduce them to the people who are going to be their bosses someday. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole process, then it's just an easy downhill kind of way to getting someone into liver pathology.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to ask you, but you already answered our questions about advice for residents who want to be in liver pathology. So I'm going to ask you two supplemental questions. The first one is, you have mentioned USCAP, and you are this year, I believe, the president of USCAP.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about when did you get involved, and how has it been throughout the years for you as an academic pathologist?
Yeah, I think USCAP is the home for academic GI pathologists, but not just academic pathologists. Everyone can find something at USCAP. I started very early on during my residency at UCLA in my first year. I submitted an abstract with Klaus Lewin, my mentor, and I've gone to the meeting every year except for a single year I missed during the last 30 years. So. And I learned so much at that meeting. Just being in the room with the big names and seeing them talking over the cases and at the presentations of the platforms, and a lot at the poster presentations, just seeing them talk to the residents and giving their views on these topics, it's just a goldmine of information. So USCAP has been really good. And then someday give a course. Being invited to give a course, and there's lots of opportunities for that now. Junior people, assistant professors, definitely should do an IM course, submit your proposal. You have great cases that you've collected over the years and would like to share with your colleagues. And so USCAP is looking for people who have submitted abstracts over the years and have attended the meeting, and now are ready to give an IM course, and then hopefully a short course, and then get on to the application committee and in whatever field, even a non-liver field. I understand there are IM courses in those fields as well. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, so secondly, I know you're famously you're a soccer, or as I call it, football fan. Who are you, and I know this podcast will be released much later, but who are you supporting in the World Cup this year, the last four?
Morocco. I love the underdog. And they play such, I love their game. I love the way they play. Serbia is also good. I have lots of friends in Argentina. I don't want to, they're all great teams. I was obviously supporting the U.S. and mm-hmm. the other CONCACAF teams,
yeah.
Mexico in particular, and Canada. Mm-hmm. U.S. and Canadian Academy, so and Costa Rica, all four. CONCACAF didn't have a very good showing this time, but to everyone out there, World Cup is in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico in 4 years, so that's going to be really great.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time for a Liverpool soccer fan.
All right, thank you very much.
So I had another question. So in residency interviews, we're often asked, you know, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And, you know, are you going to go private or academic? Yeah. What made you decide to go academic versus private? Or did you have much of a choice in the decision?
Yeah, I felt, I don't know, it was a natural inclination. I don't have much, I wouldn't say I have much business sense, first off. And I love the teaching. All pathologists say that. I've never heard of a pathologist that says that they aren't in love with teaching. So it's just, it tracks that. And I think the teaching opportunities are even greater in academics. I love interacting with the medical students and the residents. So, yeah, it was very, I never really considered anything else. My fellowship at the University of Chicago is only intended for academic people interested in an academic career. That started because I really love liver, and there wasn't much interest in having a fellowship in liver in private practice. That just wasn't seen as an attractive, make you an attractive candidate. Mm-hmm. In private practice. So knowing that early on, this was decades ago, I tailored the fellowship for people interested in academic careers. But that era is really over now, although my own fellowship is still oriented that way. Doing a GI and liver pathology fellowship, you're completely open. You can find whatever career you want. If you want to be in a small community setting, they need people like you. If you want to be in a large community hospital system or a little private pod lab, they need people like you. And then, of course, we're dying for people in academia right now in GI and liver too. So it's wide open for any kind of career. And there are great fellowships for training in GI and liver if you're more interested in the private practice orientation. Is just not the way my fellowship is. I say my fellowship, but it's all of our fellowship. It always has been. I started the fellowship a long time ago, and at that time I was the only GI pathologist, but now we have seven GI pathologists, so it's actually a much better fellowship when it's seven individuals who can each give their own tidbits and interesting facts and ways of thinking about problems. So, and we, our group here produces great fellows.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Hart. Yeah. That's our show for today, folks. You can find Dr. Hart on Twitter. His Twitter handle is @JohnHart, JohnHart20. And thank you very much for listening to us. If you like the show, please like and subscribe to our channels on YouTube, Apple, and Podbean. We'll be back with another episode soon.
Special thank you to our listeners. Until next time, enjoy an excerpt from an upcoming interview with Dr. Leilani Valdez.
You know, honestly, I feel like I help people every day, right? I really do. Like, every day, and oftentimes, most times, I'm not sure what that help is going to be when I start the day, right? It could be nothing to do with the microscope, or it could be everything to do with the microscope, and I don't know what that day is going to bring. And you know, some people say, oh, that's really unnerving. But it's really exciting because you can be like, you know what? I helped that doctor. I helped that nurse. I helped that hospital administrator. And I helped that patient, right? And to be helpful every day is kind of one of I don't know, it really gets me going. I get really jazzed if I can be helpful, right? That whole, I need to see patients to be helping patients. I feel helpful even, you know, with every patient's biopsy I look at, with every physician who has a question about what lab test to order, what lab tests mean. You know, even in a breast conference this morning, right? So breast conference is this opportunity where you've got a surgeon and a medical oncologist, a radiation oncologist, a radiologist, all in the room together. Two pathologists, because we always come because we're there. And you're, as a pathologist, I'm asking questions that help with that discussion. And everyone leaves the room feeling like we have tapped the resources available to us and the brain power of this diverse group of very passionate, engaged physicians to find the path that is the best treatment for the patient, the best treatment plan for the patient.